Welcome to The Excellent Fiduciary, a podcast from Roland Criss, where we explore what it takes to meet and exceed the demands of managing a retirement plan in today's complex market. Now, let's begin today's show with an introduction from our Roland Criss host.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Excellent Fiduciary Podcast. Changes in the enforcement focus of both the Internal Revenue Service and the U.S. Department of Labor place payroll operations high on the list of fiduciary functions that employers really have to monitor with a lot of care. Payroll failures can cause financial penalties and reputational harm for enterprises that sponsor 401k and 403b type retirement plans. I'm Ron Hagen, Chairman of the Risk Standards Committee at Roland Criss, and it's my pleasure to report to you a study of the relationship between payroll deficiencies and fiduciary violations that our firm's risk practice group conducted. It surprises many executives to learn that payroll deficiencies are the most frequent violations of ERISA fiduciary duty. They outpace investment-related violations by a very wide margin. Well, I hope to help you drive better outcomes for your organization's retirement plan participants and its risk profile today. Your human resources team and the fiduciary committee that runs oversight on your enterprise's retirement plan have a strategic responsibility to deliver value to your enterprise's risk culture more so than ever before. So we'll cover some of the perspectives on that and some guidance on curing the deficiencies that are inherent in most payroll operations to help you and your team be more successful. Well, like the hollow wooden Trojan horse in Greek mythology, you may recall the story if you've heard it. It concealed an invading force. It looked innocent enough, but inside was an army. Well, payroll can secretly undermine the compliance efforts of every organization that sponsors a retirement plan qualified by the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, or what I'll call ERISA from here forward. The point at which a retirement plan and a payroll system intersect is a breeding ground for the most common violations of fiduciary duty. And I'd like to drill down into the findings of our report on this to identify the causes of the six most frequent payroll deficiencies. Each of them requires some significant corrective action when they materialize. So I'm going to list them for you with a brief explanation about each one. First of all, under the category of definition of compensation, we found that an ERISA plan's definition of compensation is not used very often or correctly for all participants' deferrals and allocation decisions. Now, since a retirement plan can use different definitions of compensation for various purposes, it's absolutely essential to apply the proper description for deferrals, allocations, and testing. The payroll system has got to have the ability to follow the plan document and the compensation definitions that appear in the document. It's critical to adhere to the plan's terms to correctly execute an employee's elective deferral or other allocation. The second significant cause of payroll deficiencies has to do with matching contributions. In cases where we found this to be in evidence, the employers fail to contribute the employer matching contribution, again, according to the way it's defined in the plan document. The process deficiency was caused by failing to correctly count hours of service or identify plan entry dates for employees. And incorrect contributions also occur when a plan service provider was unable to follow the plan document terms. Record-keeping errors popped up frequently during our study. That means service providers make mistakes too. The third category of payroll deficiencies that afflict many retirement plans has to do with elective deferrals. In the cases we saw, employers had to make a qualified non-elective contribution to the plan for the employee when the employee was not given the opportunity to make an elective deferral decision. The contribution that the IRS requires be made to compensate for the missed deferral opportunity is purely on the employer's budget. This is not a plan expense. And as you might imagine, this particular deficiency in enrollment procedures can become expensive. The fourth significant area of payroll deficiencies has to do with participant loans. Frequently, participant loans don't conform to the requirements of the plan document, and when that happens, it becomes a prohibited transaction. We found that many retirement plans in our study contain participants who don't repay their loans timely. No procedures were in place to prevent loans from being classified as prohibited transactions, and no method existed for notifying the tardy participants of the tax consequences of their loan defaults. The tax code requires that defaulted loans must be reported by the participant as ordinary income for which they are solely responsible. The fifth category of deficiencies that we found frequently in our study had to do with hardship distributions. An ERISA plan can allow employees to receive a hardship distribution due to what's called an immediate and heavy financial need. Well, hardship distributions are limited to the amount of the employee's elective deferrals to start with. In addition to demonstrating immediate and severe financial need, the plan must also show that a distribution from the plan is necessary to address that particular need. A distribution is not considered necessary to satisfy an employee's immediate and financial need if the employee has other resources that are available to meet the need. This includes assets of the employee's spouse and minor children. In many cases, the plan's governance document does not state ERISA's distribution restrictions on hardships, and participants that received distributions that were unauthorized by the plan document were required to return their hardship distribution amounts plus earnings. And the IRS and the DOL will require correction filings from the employer in these cases. Well, the sixth area of common deficiencies in payroll operations that intersect with retirement plans has to do with timely deposits of employees and other participants' deferrals, contributions to their plans. Employers alone are responsible for contributing the participants' deferrals. This is important because many plans, sponsors nowadays are using third-party employee payroll employee service providers to handle this for them. But it's solely on the responsibility on the shoulders of the employer to make these timely contributions. And we found in some cases that providers fail to forward processes of deferrals timely, imposing then on the plan sponsor a violation. Now, the Department of Labor's rules require employers to deposit deferrals as soon as the employer can do so. However, in no event can the deposit be later than the 15th business day of the following month. Now, this rule about the 15th business day is not a safe harbor for depositing deferrals. Instead, it is a maximum deadline. In practical application, the DOL provides a 7 business day safe harbor rule for employee contributions that have fewer than 100 participants. But other plans, other employers with more than 100 participants are in often cases judged to be out of compliance with just a very short 72 to 48 hour window. So be careful that you're checking on the deposit timeliness of deferrals made by your plan's participants. Okay, well, let's take a look at 8 steps that we think you can take to tighten your payroll operations and reduce your organization's fiduciary risk. And in the interest of time, I'm going to list them briefly. First, compare salary deferral election forms with the amounts deducted from employees' wages. This should be done on a regular payroll cycle. Number 2, verify the types of compensation that you're using, the definitions of compensation for things like allocations, deferrals, and plan testing. Third, check the plan service providers are receiving accurate compensation and ownership records. This is a case of garbage in, garbage out. And you must keep in mind that your service provider is not obligated to validate the accuracy of census files once you upload to them. Number 4, monitor annual contribution and compensation limits. In other words, don't define your compensation limits once and forget it. Be sure you're evaluating them on an annual basis. Number 5, verify the validity of rollover contributions to the plan. These would be deferrals that are coming in from other employers, for example. Number six, verify the accuracy of the calculation for years of service that you use for deciding things like eligibility and vesting. Seven, verify the marital status and spousal consent for plan distributions. Be sure that your beneficiary forms are also up to date and current for all participants. This is not an easy thing. We understand that. Beneficiary form preparation is not something that's high on the list of most participants, but it becomes a very essential document to have in file when the need arises. And number eight, ensure that your participants are receiving required minimum distributions. Well, if payroll reconciliation isn't taken care of, it's tough to trap errors when they occur. The effort to correct them later can be costly because payroll errors are unwieldy to fix. And what's worse, they can require voluntary correction filings with the IRS and the U.S. Department of Labor. The fees your firm pays to an attorney to make the filings alone will be non-budgeted and can be high. Well, in summary, we understand that this is a challenging time, and we've seen that deficiencies in payroll operations trigger retirement plan compliance problems for all types of employers, large and small. Many don't even realize they have fiduciary-related payroll problems or how to fix them. Avoiding fiduciary traps embedded in the typical payroll function requires that plan sponsors have a proven set of guidelines, they are diligently followed, and checked periodically for continued relevancy. ERISA-defined contribution plans should commission an independent assessment of their payroll operations at least annually. And implementation of any needed controls should be part of the assessment engagement. Roland Criss conducts those assessments, and we've saved scores of employers the agony of getting caught in a breach of their fiduciary duty and the fines and fees that go with just one event. Well, that brings us to the end of today's episode of the Excellent Fiduciary Podcast. I want to thank you for joining us. We will be back soon to guide executives and managers who bear the fiduciary responsibility for their government-qualified retirement plans. So join us next time. I hope you have a great day.